card for you.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Fred.
Yes, sir.
You had a long day.
Well, not too long today, sir. I just arrived home. I'm sorry I wasn't.
All right, that's right. No, I just called 5 minutes ago. Give me a brief report.
Well, it was a pretty good afternoon all in all, Mr. President. I found Thompson most cooperative, feeling more Republican every day.
Really?
So he tells me.
Yeah.
Perfectly prepared to assist in really doing a cross-examination. He thinks, well, he knows the earliest they'll get Dean in a private session under oath is Friday.
Private session under oath?
They always put these witnesses in. They bring them in an executive session, have one senator come in and swear them.
Yeah.
And then they cross-examine him under oath before they put him on in the public session.
I see.
So this is the procedure they propose to use.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us until Thursday to get with Thompson.
Right.
And he wants to get together Thursday night and spend most of the evening preparing for this.
Right.
Just in case they're going to get him Friday. They do think he'll testify under the use of immunity.
Well, they do.
And of course, that depends on whether Cox appeals this thing. They will not get Dean on the stand this week, but they think they'll get him on next week.
We'll all leak out anyway. Friday, don't you think?
It probably will.
Sure.
But if they've got him under oath, you know, that's...
It's all right with us.
If they finally got him under oath, Thompson will work with us so that...
Does he realize that Dean has some problems?
Oh, yes, sir. Quite a few. He knows there's quite a few inconsistencies. He has problems of his own all the way across the board.
Right.
He is willing to work with us. He is also now willing to work with us on shifting some focus to the Democrats. He's finally made up his mind. He's got to start looking at some of their stuff.
Right.
I mentioned to him casually that while it wasn't our primary effort, I could be of some help to him. And I think we'll be able to do well to shift the focus a little bit.
Good.
And we've got some leads on that, too, incidentally.
Good. Have you?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir. I think it's well to mix the mix a little bit here. And
good.
I think we'll be able to look at some of the financing on the other side a little bit hard.
Well, we should. They raised $34 million. They don't get that for nothing.
And we've got a couple of leads I will follow up on after we get set on this Dean thing. I don't want to dissipate our efforts at the time.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But
that should come later.
I've got some leads we can work on when the time comes. So he's feeling quite Republican on this. I suspect that we'll be able to find out fairly promptly, you know, what it is that Dean said.
Right.
That's
what we need.
He has only talked to Dash so far.
Dean has.
Dean has only talked to Dash so far. He is refusing. Cox called him before the grand jury on a subpoena.
Cox did when?
Apparently today.
Yeah.
And apparently Dean's going to have to take the Fifth Amendment before the grand jury before it goes up to the hearings. That's in the paper tonight.
That's good.
So,
incidentally, you probably heard about this Titus letter of the 22nd. Do you know about that?
No, sir.
Well, Titus wrote Dean a letter on the 22nd week that he couldn't grant immunity because he was guilty of obstruction of justice.
I knew about that, yes.
Apparently that'll be in the papers.
Yes. After finishing with Thompson, I went by and had a long talk with Henry Peterson.
Right.
I think we misread that memorandum that you had. The thing about mid-March there was really referring to the Hunt documents, which were given to Pat Gray. The first time the Henry learned of the Ellsberg thing was when Silbert told him, and the first indication Silbert had was from Dean. Dean is the one that put that whole thing in the open.
I see. But Dean, you see, Dean had mentioned it to me in the 17th of March or the 13th, I don't know which.
Right.
And I just assumed that he'd passed it on to them from that memorandum. But anyway,
right. He apparently didn't until the 6th or a day or two after, Mr. President, when he was bargaining for the immunity.
Huh.
And he offered him this without telling him the details, and he never did tell him the details. But he offered him the proof on this if they would grant him immunity.
I see.
Well, they turned him down instead, but having deduced that Hunt was involved, they went back then and questioned Hunt.
Right.
That's how they got at the thing.
I see.
Dean told them enough to give them a handle on Hunt.
I see.
Interestingly, Henry says, and I'm inclined to believe him, he said that Dean never compromised him or never tried, really. He said, in fact, he was put off very easy. When he asked him what they were doing, he could merely tell him the grand jury is today talking to so-and-so and so-and-so about so-and-so.
I see.
You know? And he said he never really gave him any information out of the grand jury.
Dean, of course, says otherwise to me, but that's irrelevant.
Right, right. So I suspect Henry will stand right there. Henry's extremely upset about Cox coming in there and having such a wide jurisdiction.
Right.
He says it's like turning the whole old Kennedy clan loose, turning the Justice Department over to him.
That's right.
And he's extremely upset about this.
Good.
His animosities with Cox are showing very firmly. He feels very strongly about it.
Right.
He says there.
Does he think he'll be called?
He doesn't know. He thinks Cox will call him. Cox, of course, already has made some very accusatory statements toward him. They sent the FBI to interview him.
Oh, my God.
This really made him repeat some
stories. Oh, God.
You know, he said, who the hell is the FBI coming to investigate me? I'm the one that tells them who to investigate.
I know.
And
he's told everything, and he's, my God. Henry Peterson is a guy that came to me on the 15th of April and said, you got to get rid of Holloman Ehrlichman. Good heavens, I mean, what more do you want?
But he is very indignant, extremely so. He confirms the conversations you told me about. He told you on the 27th, you know, that whatever you had to do, you might as well not wait any longer.
Right, on Friday.
Right. He didn't think they couldn't reach any agreement with Dean. He was demanding absolute immunity, and
right.
He just didn't feel they could give it to him.
Right.
And
does he think Cox is going to give him absolute immunity? Or does he
doesn't know. His relations with Cox are very poor. I think whatever information he gets largely through the prosecutors.
I just said, oh, yeah.
To whom he's fairly close. They kind of feel like they're in the same position Henry is.
Yep.
And they feel almost as much animosity toward Cox as he does.
Good.
They take the attitude that Cox doesn't have any idea what the case is about. He doesn't know what evidence is there and what isn't. And apparently Cox recognizes himself. He doesn't have enough to really even deal at this point. He doesn't know. Henry did say that on one occasion, he said that Dean never gave him a hard time. He said on one case, John Ehrlichman gave him a hard time about subpoenaing stands last summer.
Oh?
He said they had quite a go-around about this.
Subpoenaing stands.
He said he went right ahead with it.
I didn't know about that, of course, but that's all right.
This very perceptible animosity toward John Ehrlichman among the prosecutors and Cox. This comes through loud and clear.
I see.
I'd say if they were focalizing on one man, or focusing on one man, it would be John Ehrlichman, much more so than Bob Halden.
Huh.
Or even Dean.
Good God, even Dean?
Even Dean.
After everything he did?
After everything he did, they still...
Separation of perjury, going to tell the CIA to put him on the payroll and all that? Good heavens.
They all believe that Dean was, and this is their opinion.
They
all believe that he was doing it at Ehrlichman's instruction.
Well.
And that's I'm sure Dean has led them in that direction.
Yeah. Well, Ehrlichman's the only man that can answer that, and he will.
He is. I'm sure he will. But both visits were very useful.
Good.
Because he gave me some details on how things happened down there. And Thompson, of course, because he was far more cooperative, really, than I expected him to be. He's willing to go, you know, pretty much the distance now. And he said he realized his responsibility was going to have to be as a Republican increasingly. And
he realizes that the Urban et al. And Daesh are being totally political, does he?
Right. He said it's just getting to be a political dogfight. And he's going to...
Does his boss realize that? Does Baker think that?
He said Baker's aware of it, but he was quite candid with us. He thinks Baker will move much more slowly than he will let Thompson move.
Right.
So he said it's obvious I'm going to have to carry the ball, and he'll gauge by, you know, what the reaction is to Thompson as to how far he gets in.
Right.
That's his summary of it. He explained what the problem was with Weikert. He said Weikert's man on the staff is, you know, the man he sponsored, is very competent and very good and a totally reliable man. He said, however, he does have to brief Weikert, and then he says Weikert briefs his press man, who is... from home, but you know, if you look back historically, Gurney has rarely worked well with an investigating committee of his own. They're usually developed friendships.
Yep.
He's pretty touchy. And he perceives slights very rapidly. And of course, I suspect that he's tired of seeing the Republicans batted because he's got an election coming up.
Bet your life. An election where, in a state where I'm very strong.
Right.
Which bothers him.
They do anticipate, interestingly enough, he said that all of them are convinced that once they punish people like Dean, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Colson, that they'll lose their television coverage.
Mm-hmm. They sure will. Oh, that's totally predictable.
We'll not cover them anymore. So he sees it boiling down into a rather dragged out session. And that's when he hopes to get the focus moved around a little bit.
Yeah.
Get some Democratic money.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. We'll do our best anyway.
We'll help him with that too if we can.
Yeah. Okay, Brad.
Fine. Thank you, sir. Bye.